We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
I learned of my uncle's passing 3 months ago. We weren't particularly close, but he left me one of his houses in the will. I was touched, but honestly, just wanted to sell it off as soon as possible. I'm a new father of twin girls and don't need another headache right now. To speed up the process, I travelled across the country to live in the house until a sale was assured. My job just required a laptop and phone, so I was approved to work remotely for the time being. Unfortunately, my wife had to stay at her job, so I came alone. At first, I treated it as a mini vacation. While I planned on only staying a few weeks, I didn't mind the process being more involved than I thought. The realtor took care of most things for me, and I'm still at the house a month later. I did notice strange things about the house right away. Stuff was never where I last placed it. I'd see shadows out of the corner of my eye. I lost track of time constantly. I thought it was caused by stress and loneliness. Except for the few times the realtor came by with prospective buyers, the house was the quietest place I'd ever been. Before I completely lost my mind, the neighbor came by with a dog. She was an elderly woman who explained that she had been dog-sitting while my uncle was in the hospital. Now that I was here, she thought I should take Buster, the golden retriever. I thought the neighbor might have been forgetful because she seemed to think my uncle had just passed last week. Either way, I fell in love with Buster, and his presence was exactly what I needed. I even thought it would be a tremendous present to bring home to my girls. I just hoped my wife would feel the same way. However, even the dog could tell something was wrong with the house. Buster accepted his new living arrangements pretty quickly, but would never willingly go upstairs. This was all right with me at the time. I thought it would make it easier to keep track of him. Then, Buster disappeared. Literally, one second he was standing right behind me as I was opening the treat jar to give him a snack. My eyes left him for just a moment to put the jar back, and then he was gone. I ran through the whole house calling his name. The kitchen is connected to the living room, on the other end of which is the master bedroom and study. The other end of the kitchen leads to a dining room, which is connected to the entrance hall. That leads to the living room and stairs to the second floor. After walking upstairs, you have a choice of right or left along the balcony that overlook the living room on one side and entrance on the other. Going left leads immediately to a guest room and game room. Going right leads to two more guest rooms and a bathroom at the end of the hall. I looked in every room and had to accept that somehow the dog made it outside. Even though there is no doggy door and every door and window had been closed and locked. So, I searched the surrounding neighborhood before giving up after an hour. I was thinking of making flyers as I opened the front door and heard Buster scrambling towards me from the kitchen. I was ecstatic, of course, but I couldn't wrap my head around how I could have missed him. I let Buster sleep in the bed with me that night and every night since. Things picked up at work, though, and I soon forgot about all the strangeness surrounding the house. Clients were calling me constantly, but I got it done. I landed multiple large contracts and soon was working around the clock, but I knew I'd be due a promotion once I returned to the home office. Several times I get lost in a phone call or spreadsheet and suddenly find that it was nighttime. I'd be so absorbed with work that I could block out Buster whining for food or go outside. I started to set alarms to keep track, but I had too many important clients to slow down. I was on top of the world, but my health started to suffer. I'd forget to eat and even sleep sometimes. There was always something else to do or someone to talk to. I soon was taking better care of Buster than I was of myself. Then, my good mood ended with a bang. Literally. Buster was whining behind me after I finished another spreadsheet. Then, we both heard a door slam upstairs. For the first time since I brought him inside, Buster ran upstairs all by himself. I almost called the cops, but I felt silly when I had the phone in my hand. I tried to convince myself I hadn't really heard anything at all. I mean, if there were an intruder, surely Buster would have been making more noise. So, I mustered all the courage I could manage and crept upstairs with a frying pan as my weapon. It was dark upstairs, but enough moonlight came in from the downstairs windows that I could make out Buster standing in front of the bathroom. I had purposely closed every door when I last came up here, but this door was now wide open. I flipped the hallway light, but nothing happened. With no better ideas, I raised the frying pan high and walked slowly to the bathroom. There was no window in there, so it was pure darkness inside. I was terrified. Bizarrely, Buster seemed frozen in place. His tail stood straight up and he was pointed towards the door. I tried to take it as a good sign that he still hadn't barked. That's what finally got me through the threshold and into the bathroom. The whole time, my eyes were getting used to the darkness, and I quickly realized the bathroom was too small for anyone to be there without me noticing. I started to relax when I took a step forward into something sticky. I suddenly realized that I had my cell phone in my pocket. I pulled it out and turned it on to cast some light on the floor. I immediately dropped it at the sight of the bright red liquid that surrounded my feet. Even though I only had a glimpse at the floor, the image of a blood-red line slowly filling the groove between tiles was burned into my eyes. I fled the upstairs, and this triggered Buster to follow. I had no trouble calling the police when I made it back downstairs. Thankfully, there was already a patrol car nearby, so two officers arrived within a couple of minutes. Their powerful flashlights cut through the darkness like knives, but they soon found nothing was wrong with the upstairs lights. Instead, something was wrong with my pipes, though. They called out from above that the puddle was just rusty water. Because of their insistence, I climbed up the stairs again and clearly saw a muddy brown puddle in the bathroom. The banging must have been from a pipe breaking. Both cops had a laugh at my expense, but were otherwise understanding. They even gave me a number of a good plumber, though my cell phone was ruined after I dropped and left it in the puddle. I would have to use the one landline in the kitchen from now on. I saw them out and promised to call the plumber first thing in the morning. Yet, as exhausted as I was, I couldn't go to sleep. Not after all that excitement. I stayed up to draft some more important documents for my company. Before I knew it, Buster had made another mess in the living room. I was dead tired and said things to Buster that maybe I shouldn't have, and I did some things that I know I really shouldn't have. I decided to do something about the stress I had been under, and I spoke to my supervisor that next morning. To my surprise, they were happy to let me have a week off as a sort of mental vacation. Just like that, all my outstanding work was taken away. With nothing else to do, I was finally able to focus on Buster. I played games with him and fed him a bunch of treats to make up for my earlier neglect. Then I found the first message. I didn't notice it for some time since I'd been avoiding the second floor, but I suddenly realized that I'd never gotten around to calling the plumber. Before doing so, I went upstairs to see if things had gotten any worse. Instead, I immediately saw a message written in red on the hallway wall. It read, "Losing your mind?" For a second, I kind of did. I was scared to death of the thought that someone had snuck into my house while I was there, probably while I was sleeping. I won't bear repeating everything I said or did right after. Let's just say I hadn't become any braver since the banging incident. Eventually, I made my way to the kitchen with Buster leading the way. I called the police again. Those two same officers were able to show up, and then, slowly, we cleared every inch of the house. Yet we found no one. Everything was locked. No sign of forced entry. The police actually took me seriously, something that surprised me at the time. Instead, they admitted that there had been a series of break-ins in the neighborhood. Nothing was ever stolen, but the police officers still offered to have a car sit outside for the night. I appreciated the gesture, but declined because I had no intention of staying. I knew I'd never get to sleep tonight, not in this house. So I called my only friend in town, an old college roommate who coincidentally lived 30 minutes away. He offered to pick me and Buster up in a few hours, so I busied myself with packing up my suitcase. I didn't want to ever come back, so I pretty much packed everything I had brought with me to the house in the first place. I left my room to pick up some doggy toys, when my friend called to say he was waiting outside. I decided to hang up the phone and meet him immediately. I needed the human company, and he could help me move my stuff. But the driveway was empty. There was no friend, no car. I called him back immediately, and he insisted he was outside. I listened to him get out of his car and walk up to the front door. He knocked, and I could hear the door open, and an elderly woman greet him. My friend asked for me by name and even mentioned my uncle. The woman said she had never heard of either of us. After thanking her, my friend left and asked if I'd gotten all that. I told him I must have given him the wrong address, but he was able to rattle off the correct one and confirm he was there. After asking him to wait and I left the house again, I walked out to the street and looked back at the numbers written on the curb and on the mailbox. Only, there weren't any numbers. Just a message. "Losing your mind?" was written on the curb, in bright red. The temptation to leave right away was great. I could just start walking and never stop. But I had to get my stuff and, more importantly, Buster. So I entered the house one last time. When I came back to the room, my suitcase was empty. Everything I had just spent the last hour packing up was back in its proper place. Despite how impossible this was, I focused on my one and only goal. I needed to leave. I put a leash on Buster and was shocked to see how haggard he was. I resolved to make it up to him when this was all over. I tried to leave out the front door like nothing was wrong, but I couldn't open it. The knob turned freely, but the deadbolt wouldn't slide back. I was really scared, but Buster's presence helped. I knelt down to give him a hug, and he gave me an idea while licking my face. Whatever was happening, it sure wasn't the result of a maniac hiding in my house. Still, I didn't know what forces were actually opposing me, so I walked to the backyard and said loudly, "Well, Buster, time for a walk." The glass door slid open easily. Buster bounded out happily. I guess it had been a long time since I let him outside. I followed more tentatively and, for the first time, examined the backyard closely. There was an iron fence surrounding the yard with enough space between the bars that Buster could slip through. And then I saw it. A tree that grew too close to the fence and had several branches extending through and above it. I assumed the gate would be supernaturally locked too. So, this was my exit. Buster didn't need prodding. He waited patiently for me on the other side as I painfully pulled myself up and over the fence. I was suddenly aware of how weak and tired my recent lifestyle had made me. When I was in the process of climbing down the tree on the other side, Buster growled once and then took off like a shot towards a nearby hill. I jumped down and gave chase. He disappeared over the top, and I scrambled to keep up on the surprisingly steep surface. Luckily, I found out where someone had laid some stone bricks to the side for an easier way up. It was still steep enough that I had to focus on placing my feet correctly to keep from sliding. So, I was looking down when my next reach up resulted in my hand grabbing carpet. Confused, I looked up to see the second floor landing. I looked down to see the rest of the stairs that led to the entrance hall and living room of the house. Buster was nowhere to be found. Demoralized and dead tired, I crawled the final steps and just sat on the landing for a while, occasionally calling for Buster. Eventually, the kitchen phone rang. Whatever ghosts were messing with me, I realized they couldn't stop outside forces from helping. I tumbled down the stairs in my haste and landed hard on the cold tiles below. But I was only dazed for a second and soon was in the kitchen with a phone in my hand. My wife's warm voice filled me with hope. She was concerned that she hadn't heard from me in a while. I couldn't recall the last time I'd even tried to reach out myself. She was trying to tell me that my work hadn't heard from me in a week, while I tried to tell her to call the police. Her words gave me pause though. I asked, "What do you mean? I was given the week off." "Dear, I thought you were supposed to continue working as soon as you got there." "Yeah, but they gave me a week off because of all the stress I've been under." "Wait a second. How long have I been out here?" "Honey, you've been gone almost 9 days now." My stomach sunk, but I didn't hesitate to say, "Listen, you need to call the cops. Something's wrong. I think I'm having a medical emergency." I'd just been trying to come up with an excuse to limit the amount of follow-up questions, but I ended up realizing that this was actually the most likely explanation. Maybe I was suffering from a gas leak or brain tumor. Ironically, either of those options seemed preferable than living in a haunted house. My wife asked, "Baby, what's wrong? Are you okay?" I thought I saw a shadow move out of the corner of my eye as I answered, "Yeah, I'm okay, but no, I mean, look, I just need help. There's something wrong about this house." "You aren't making any sense. Just listen to me. Call the police and tell them my uncle's name. Tell them to come to this house and an ambulance might be needed. Please help me." "Please help you? Please? Pretty please with a cherry on top?" I stared at the phone in my hand as my wife's voice continued to come out of it. It sounded like her, but in a mocking tone I've never actually heard from her before. She said, "You're such a baby. Does your tummy hurt too? When's the last time you ate? I wonder if Buster can actually help you out there." I slammed the phone down, but whatever it was on the other side was right. My stomach was hurting. I couldn't remember the last time I'd eaten. On cue, I heard Buster whining from upstairs. Only after I started running towards the stairs, did I notice just how bruised and sore my legs were from the spill down those steps. I pushed through the pain and climbed the stairs yet again. Buster was back in front of the bathroom, lying on his side and looking thinner than I'd ever seen him. "Losing your mind?" was written all over the hallway now, including the ceiling and floor. I no longer had any doubt the messages were written in blood. Some of them were still dripping. I saw some of Buster's fur was matted with blood, and suddenly realized how the messages were being written. No wonder Buster looked so frail. Somehow the ghosts or demons haunting this place were able to draw the blood right out of my pet. I walked up and picked up Buster. At the same time, a banging started at my front door. I would have jumped if Buster hadn't been weighing me down. I heard the front door open, and whoever it was identified themselves as the police. I even recognized the voice as belonging to one of the officers who had visited previously. Why can't I remember his name? After calling out that I was upstairs, I turned with Buster and found the hallway stretched before me, many times its original length. Despite how thin he looked, Buster felt heavier than before. I knew this was all just some sort of trick to not get me in touch with the police officer. I thought I must have really been talking to my wife. She had come through with calling the police, and the ghosts just distorted the end of the call. So, I started my trek back to the stairs and shuffled my feet as fast as I could, yelling all the way. But then, a voice answered the police officer. A woman's voice. My wife's voice. I could hear her saying, "I'm sorry, my husband wasn't feeling well. He's resting in the bedroom. Can I help you?" I screamed as loud as I could, just to get attention. But it was no use. I heard the officer say, "I'd like to check up on him all the same." "Sure, sure, come in. He's right through here." It was right out of a nightmare. I was sweating profusely, while every step seemed to get me nowhere. I tried to speed up, but the hallway just stretched further. And then I heard a man's blood-curdling scream from downstairs. Suddenly, the hallway snapped back, and I found myself somehow right at the top of the stairs. My momentum couldn't be stopped, and I fell down the stairs and landed hard on top of Buster. He howled in pain, but at least he was alive. I saw a long, thick trail of blood go around the corner and under my closed bedroom door. There was still a shadow of something under the door. I painfully crept to the kitchen and grabbed my trusty frying pan before making my way back to the bedroom door, as quietly as I could. Once again, I found myself staring at a bright red line of blood that stretched across the floor. I felt like I was on the verge of remembering something important, but I had no time to dwell on it. I tore my eyes from the blood and watched the moving shadows under the door. Whatever was waiting there had killed a man. That meant it could kill me. But if it could have a physical impact, then surely it had to be susceptible to a physical impact too. So I raised the frying pan and slowly started to turn the handle. Before I made much progress, the door flew open on its own and something turned suddenly to me. I swung my frying pan down. The cop stood before me, a smile frozen on his face. We both looked down at the knife plunged into his chest. My hand was still wrapped around the handle. He fell to the side and I fell backwards to sit heavily on the now clean floor. I was positive I'd picked up the frying pan. I could remember its weight. But now I also remembered going to the kitchen and pulling out the knife. I seriously wondered if I was losing my mind. I looked down to find I had the kitchen knife in my hands again. I dropped it at once and crawled back to check on Buster. He wasn't moving. I put my head on his flank. I was devastated to feel he was still warm, but not breathing. I didn't know what to do, so I did nothing. I did nothing for a long time. I was lethargic, but somehow made it to the couch in the living room. I waited there until nightfall, and then slept on the couch. When I woke up, I waited some more. I wasn't sure what I was waiting for, but nothing horrible was happening to me while I waited. I wasn't in a hurry to change that. But the bodies of Buster and the cop were still there. I needed to do something. My stomach rumbled as I finally got off the couch. That was another problem with just staying put. First things first, I found a shovel in an outdoor closet attached to the backyard porch. Digging the hole was exhausting, so I settled for just burying Buster now. I planned on getting to the cop after finding something to eat. I picked up Buster and carried him outside. His fur was still so warm. It was hard to believe he was gone, but there was no life behind those big brown eyes. I laid him gently down in the hole and got to work. Sometime later, I wandered into the kitchen and raided the pantry. The house was quiet, apart from my efforts. Whenever I stopped moving, the silence was complete. I wondered if the ghosts had just been trying to make me a murderer after all. Now that the goal had been met, maybe they would leave me alone for a while. Just in time, because I was starving and didn't need any more distractions. I opened a box of cereal and had a handful up to my lips when I paused. How could I tell I was actually eating what I was looking at? What if I had actually been opening a box of rat poison? I still wasn't sure what these ghosts were capable of. I imagined the food turning into worms after it was already in my mouth. With that thought, I threw the cereal to the ground and stomped off, no longer hungry. I needed to concentrate my efforts on leaving this place. Right on cue, I walked by the front door. It was open. Instinctively, I made a leap for it before stopping with my outstretched hand just a foot short of the door. This had to be another trick. I could see the door slamming shut in my face or even taking a few of my fingers with it. I could feel a breeze enter the house, but I was too scared to move. This was the most impossible situation I'd ever been in or even heard of. All of my senses had failed me before. However, my need for freedom eventually caused my feet to move. Upon slowly exiting the house, I saw the cop car just sitting in my driveway. The door was unlocked and the keys were sitting in the front seat. My mind went wild, trying to explain the situation. Maybe the cop was secretly a murderer and had killed previous owners of this house. Maybe his sacrifice helped them move on. I couldn't think of any other explanation for my good luck at the time, so I pushed my misgivings down and got in. I drove out of the neighborhood without incident, but I had new problems. I was in an unfamiliar city, driving a cop car with no money or other belongings on me, and I had no idea what to do next. So, I kept driving. It felt good to be free of that house. It felt good to see the sun. So I kept driving, on and on. Left turn, right turn, left turn, right turn. No idea where I was going. And then I realized, I hadn't seen any other cars on the road for some time. Where was everyone? Where was I? The sinking feeling happened again, in the pit of my stomach, but also around my whole body. I sunk back into the car seat, and then realized I was sitting in an armchair, back in the living room of my uncle's house. My arms were up like I was holding onto a steering wheel. I started to cry with frustration as I stood up and screamed. How long had I been sitting there with a stupid grin, moving my arms up and down like a madman? I turned around and saw my work laptop on the dining room table. It was on and glowing at me. I walked over to it and saw that a YouTube video was playing. The opening title card read, "Lost your mind? Good. Now it's time to lose the rest." Suddenly, my fist felt weighed down. I raised it to find another kitchen knife in my hand. I dropped it immediately. The video continued to show when I first learned of my uncle's passing. Then I watched the reading of the will, and then my first day in this house, all from my perspective. I watched myself moving in and unpacking. I broke down in tears as I saw my neighbor bringing Buster to me for the first time. Then I watched all the events I've just described happen again. This time around, I saw no, or at least less illusions. I witnessed myself kill the cop. I watched as I sat in the chair and pretended to drive around. Again, I felt my hand grow heavy, but instead of another weapon, I raised the video camera. It was still recording. When I reached the point where I was seeing the laptop and the same YouTube video, my on-screen persona produced the rope and filmed himself tying it to the upstairs balcony. I went to turn off the video before I saw what happened next, but I found a rope in my other hand. I dropped it, and in my disgust, I slammed the video camera into the laptop screen. Immediately, I regretted not using the laptop to try and send out a message, but I couldn't remember ever bringing the laptop out to the dining room in the first place. Sure enough, I found an unbroken laptop in the study. I opened my email and started to type out a request for help. But I kept hitting the wrong keys, and another message slowly formed. "I'm sorry. I've disappointed you all. For the last time, goodbye." I tried it again and again, but I kept getting the same result. My real words weren't reaching anyone. I knew then that I was never going to leave this house. Somewhere along the line, something broke inside of me. I started to feel this pressure, this inevitable end that is getting closer and closer. I'm going to die. But make no mistake, regardless of what state my body is in or any of the messages you find around me, this was no suicide. I still don't know who my murderer is, but I can feel them out there. They are absolutely responsible for what is happening to me. Either way, I tried writing an email to the local police department when the webpage refreshed, and I found myself staring at another YouTube video. This time, it was just a narration of the same events I saw in the previous video. I had no interest in listening, but I was struck by one detail. A bright red line slowly crept across the screen. I slammed the lid down on my laptop, but I couldn't get that blood red out of my head. Not just that image, but a phrase also kept running through my head. End of the line. It's the end of the line for me. A part of me felt like it had clicked into place. I was probably going insane, but I'd understood something true about this world. Still, I couldn't think of any practical applications for this truth, and I was probably still going insane. Wait, did I already say that? I'm sorry, it's getting harder to concentrate. I found an old tape recorder in my desk drawer, and I felt like it was a good idea to start narrating everything that has happened to me. If anyone is there, if you're listening, it's to this recording I'm making with that tape recorder. Somehow, it being older technology makes me feel better, but hearing my narration out loud feels too familiar. Have I done this before? I'm beginning to believe this isn't just because of ghosts. I've been doing a lot of thinking lately, and the truth is simply that I have no idea what's going on. All I know is that I wished I never inherited this cursed house from my grandfather. I wonder what horrors he might have endured in this place himself. I'm sorry, did I say grandfather? I meant uncle, I think. But I can't really recall my uncle's name, or what he looked like. Now, I'm not sure I ever had an uncle. Come to think of it, how did I get here? Did I fly? Drive? I can't remember. Have I always been here? Even weirder, I can't remember my realtor's name, or even what gender they are. I've met them, in person, several times. Why don't I know things I should? I can't even remember the name of my daughters, or my wife. Am I even a father? Am I even a person? I know I must be, because here I am, in this small study, talking into a tape recorder. But now that I think about it, I can't remember who my parents are, what they look like, or anything about my childhood. Now, I just remember this house and all the nightmares, waking and otherwise, I've experienced here. I'm feeling a lot like I was back in the cop car. I found a way forward, but I really don't know what to do next. This is not a way to live, and I'm getting more and more tired. I'm so hungry, and I'm finding it harder to focus. I keep hearing voices, and they're getting louder There is one other truth I've come to realize. I know I won't last long if I stop talking. There's just this feeling in my gut that the end will come shortly after I stop the tape. But I'm running out of things to say. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, and Z. The quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dogs. I need to keep talking, but I don't know what to say anymore. I've caught you up with what's happened in the house. At least what I can remember. What's my name? But nothing else ever happened to me. I can't tell you about what hasn't happened to me. I'll die if I stop talking. A, B, C, E, R, G, H, I, K, L, M, N, O, Q, R, S, V, Y, W, X, and Z. Next time won't you sing with me? I'm so tired and hungry. Buster. I miss Buster. I wish I could pet him one last time. But was he ever real? Is anything? I'm so tired, so hungry. I need to focus. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Ugh. Maybe I should start over. I wish I could just rewind all this. I learned of my uncle's passing 3 months ago. We weren't particularly close, but he left me one of his houses in the will. I was touched, but honestly just wanted to sell it off as soon as possible. I'm a new father of twin girls, and I don't need another headache to manage right now. Okay, what happened next? Come on, I'm going to die if I can't remember. I'm going to die, and then someone else will see the blood pour out. They'll see my blood stretched across this grey floor. I'm sorry, I'm just rambling now. I hope you all understand how scary this is for me. I'm alive now. I just want to keep this last time going forever. And now I'm resorting to just repeating things over and over and over and over. I'm so tired of all this. Maybe I should have been trying to find a way to fast forward instead of rewind. I'm sorry I've disappointed you. I hope you all understand how scary it is to say goodbye. I'm alive, and I want to keep the last time going. I'm sorry. I've disappointed you all. For the last time. Goodbye.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 € pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.